It was 1990. I, Ross Jones, I wasn't a criminal yet, and life was a breeze.
Gentlemen, welcome to another episode of River Dudes. I am your host, EJ Leeson, and with me tonight is my co-host, Ross Airhorn Coltrane Rossimus Jones the Second. Welcome to, what's going on, man?
What's up, fella?
Nothing much.
Bring it back with me, fella.
Oh, we are gonna stop you right there and go right into our special guest. No stranger to the show and no stranger to love. Chris Conforti, what's up, on my?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Great. Are you okay? You sound like you just aged 10 years just talking.
I sound like I had very sugary lemonade. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. I bet you did, man. I bet you did. You've been drinking too much lemonade lately.
Ross, can you tell the show, too, how much you love Turkey Hill lemonade?
I love Turkey Hill lemonade.
All right. They're not sponsoring. Shut up. Don't talk about them. No.
Ross, I will give you $10 if you plug Turkey Hill's lemonade.
No, Chris, welcome back to the show. I know it was like back to back to have you on, and you are right. You're just on to keep that record, right? As most appearances.
Yes, 10 appearances.
9 or 10.
God, you're up there, dude. You are really.
Every year I look and I see another age number come by. I get a year older every time.
Yeah, so what's new, man? Anything good?
No, nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
So your life has been pretty crazy.
Like I said, I have no job. I just sit down there in my house and I wait for you guys to call. I drink lemonade. I wait for you guys to call and be like, yo, you want to be on the next episode of River Dudes? And I sit there eagerly every Monday.
No, he's by the phone waiting for a phone call.
I sit there eagerly on Monday and I get a ring and I'm like, oh, that must be them. No. Bill Collector.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no.
That voice.
I don't know. Ross does these crazy voices sometimes, and I don't know where they come from.
You should hold
I drink
pole.
Too much lemonade.
I have been told. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
I have been told that my voice resembles, and now it's because it's Christmas and these things are being aired, my voice resembles Herbie. I think it's Herbie.
Herbie.
From Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Wow.
Herbie Hancock.
No, it's definitely not Herbie Hancock.
Herbie Hancock, what?
And Rudolph?
What? No. Oh, you know, there's a funny thing. So, one of the...
I'm going to go right into the episode. I was hoping you did.
No. We have a friend that told us one time the two worst people that he's ever seen was one...
Me?
No, not you. I pointed to you. But do you remember what I'm talking about? One was the coach from Rudolph being the worst character, and then Cooper, and this is why I pointed to you, from Night of the Living Dead, were the two worst characters of all time, like that he hated more than anything.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah. But because I was comparing you to Cooper. We were playing a game, a board game, and Chris locked himself in a room, and he was supposed to help us all. And I went, you're like Cooper from Night of the Living Dead, man. And then you're not – he had all the weapons. He had, like, everything.
And just so you guys know, who I killed accidentally by not helping, no stranger to the show either, was Rory.
Right.
Who I did not help.
Right. We were all getting attacked by these clones, and Chris just decided to lock himself in a vault and not help anyone. He had everything we needed to beat them. But luckily, we saved the day, and we were able to overcome the enemies, except for Rory, who died.
Roar dog. Our dog.
Yeah, because of Chris. But And that's when this conversation came up that he's like Cooper from Night of the Living Dead, who the character locks himself in the basement away from everyone and refuses to help. And that's Chris in a nutshell when you play a game with him. So let's go into this episode.
Yeah, let's go.
Guys, what do you think of this episode right out the
gate? I loved it. It's one of my favorites of this season.
Oh,
it's up there.
Same. Yeah, I
like
with
when
you.
They do the fresh stuff that you don't
see. This blew me away. Yeah. I remember I watched this like 3 times right in a row.
Yeah, I watched it 3 or 4 times already.
Yeah. Not just for the show. I just watched it over and over because I was so...
Yeah.
I couldn't believe what a great job all the actors did portraying their parents.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The way they play their parents is just like crazy. it's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So
it shows their acting ability.
Right. Do you want to tell them who wrote and directed the show, my man?
Yeah. Where do you got the notes here?
Oh, I don't. I don't have the notes. I thought I gave them to you. No, I'm just kidding.
You have no notes for this?
No, I don't have any notes for this. No, I'm just kidding. There you go.
All right. Chapter 39, season 3, chapter 39, The Midnight Club, shares a title with a 1933 film.
Right. Yeah. Great film if you haven't seen it. Super good.
I haven't seen it. The other ones.
No surprise there.
Directed by Don Wilkinson. He did the show Nashville, Rain, and then Riverdale episode season 1, episode 10, The Lost Weekend, and season 2, episode 7, Tales from the Dark Side.
Now, Don is actually spelled the female version, and it's Don Wilkinson, it's a her. You said he. You bastard.
You bastard.
Sorry. No.
It's a girl.
No, but she actually, if you notice, she did the best episodes of every season because The Lost Weekend is Jughead's birthday.
Yeah, my favorite.
Tales from the Dark Side is like my favorite episode from season 2 when Jughead and Archie go to Greendale to deliver that package.
Yeah.
And which is my favorite episode. I love it.
Yeah, so she's on a roll.
Yeah, and then now she's doing the Midnight Club, which
is the best episode in the whole thing.
Right. So
she's on a roll.
Easily directed the 3 best episodes each season.
She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
She has the foot on the hand on the pulse, or whatever, however you say it. You know what I'm talking about?
Are you putting your hand on pulses? It's only a finger, man.
Hand on the pulse.
No, you know what I'm talking about. You
went full hand on the pulse.
You know how people say that?
No, it's finger on. Like, you know they have their finger on the pulse.
Yeah, finger on the pulse. That's what I meant.
But you're putting your whole goddamn hand on it.
You know what I meant.
They can't even breathe with you around. Oh,
you know
my
what
God.
I mean. You know what I mean.
All right. I think
that's
I
why
know.
I said, because I know you'd correct me.
Oh, I don't mean to correct you. I'm sorry. You want to talk about it?
No, I meant that I want you to correct me.
He's just a one-upper.
No, I am not. Okay, so this episode starts off
with Dr. Curdle.
Well, no.
He calls Betty.
No, that's a little bit, man. Where are you? Are you hyped up on Jingle Jangle? Like, what the hell is going on?
Too much.
Or the Pop Rocks.
Too much lemonade.
Did you just skip, like, half the episode?
He's like, I got Fizzle Rocks in my mouth.
All right, go ahead.
No, so it starts off with Griffins and Gargoyles have... It's become a huge part of everyone's life at Riverdale High.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone is now playing it, and they're playing it everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, anywhere they can. Pops, school... In a basement, wherever they can find, in a school locker, which is really tight.
In a school locker.
But we have where Mrs. Lodge, Hermione,
yeah,
informs the students. She's now the mayor, too, by the way. She informs the students that everyone needs to stop playing, and she is banning it from Riverdale, like completely. If you're seen playing it, you're in trouble.
Because in America, when you ban things, it works so well.
Well, that's what, you know, Veronica even says that. Oh, great. Now people are going to want to play it even more.
Mm-hmm.
So then Dr. Curdle, your buddy.
Yeah, that's where I was starting at.
Dr. Curdle Jr. informs Betty that after some digging.
The toxicology results are available now.
Right. He got something for Betty.
Yeah.
And he gives her a file pegging Alice she's like linked to the game that happened in the 90s, right? Right.
So can we talk again now just a little bit more about how prone these elected officials are to bribery from high schoolers?
Right. They're like, hey, I found something for you. Like, it's me, Dr. Colonel. I found something for you.
Because at least we're...
That's how he sounds.
At least where we're from, a coroner is an elected position.
Right.
Just like the mayor. Like, in where we are. I'm not sure if it's... I'm assuming it's that way everywhere else. I could be wrong. You could message me and tell me that I suck and I don't know what I'm doing. But here it's elected position.
I could just tell you in person.
Here these high schoolers are like... They could just run around and, like, bribe anybody or get them to do anything that they want.
And how do they have this money?
Yeah, like where's this money coming from?
They don't have jobs. No.
Yeah, they don't have jobs. Veronica's thing is tanking.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Where are they getting all this money from?
What is going on? So Betty goes to her mom, right? And she's like, tell me about griffins and gargoyles. Because there's evidence right here linking you to a murder.
Yeah, she's like, I know you know about griffins and gargoyles.
Right. So we get the flashback to Alice's younger years.
She starts telling Betty about her past and her whole story.
Right, she's like,
and it goes in the flashback.
She's like, my name was Alice, and back in the day, I'm a serpent.
Yeah.
So we see where she's walking through the halls, and she actually takes a pregnancy test.
In the bathroom.
That is positively FPs, right?
Yeah.
And Hermione and Sierra see that, and they're like, oh my gosh. And she's like, yeah, it's FPs. They're like, oh, FP, he's hot, you know? Like, they're like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then Penelope comes in. She's like, you guys are supposed to be in class because she's the hall monitor. And then her and Alice actually get into a brawl after a few insults were made. And they're on the bathroom floor just, like, hitting each other. And the other two girls are like, oh, my God. And then we cut to the football team. And they're egging on FP to go streaking, and he finally agrees when Fred says he'll do it with him. He's like, hey man, I'll do it with you. And that's what I noticed. KJ Apa is crushing it as Luke Perry. I love
when Cole Sprouse, when he's playing FP, he's like, yo, Freddie Andrews.
Yeah. Like when he says that. I early on, you just see right away, like, I feel like KJ Apa's was right there, like, instantly. Like, you get to see it.
I think you saw that even before that with Lily Reinhardt.
Oh, no, she disappears. Oh, my gosh. She totally disappears.
Yeah.
Her as Alice, you're 100% right. I
mean, she's the whole, like, she's the best part of the whole episode.
Well, she disappears. Right. Clearly, that's why she's the lead. You know what I mean? Like, in this particular episode. Flashback. Yeah. Like, that's why Alice is, like, the lead.
Apparently, she went through a lot of studying her mannerisms in this one show. As a waitress, I think it was.
It's probably Twin Peaks.
It probably was Twin Peaks. Yeah, she went through a lot of studying, like, her mannerisms on
there.
So, well done, Lily.
Yeah, she knocks it out of the park.
Lily kills it.
And then I feel like KJ Apa...
He's good too.
He puts his voice in a different pitch than he normally uses.
Yeah.
And it works. Like, it so reminded me of Luke Perry.
Yeah. And Cole Sprouse is a great
I feel like, too. Yeah, all of them the do cast. A really good job, but I feel cast. Like those two really stood out so far.
Yeah.
Like to me, Sarah, I don't know.
She comes in too.
Yeah.
She does a good job.
So, so he agrees to go streaking with him, which leads all of the characters getting detention.
Yeah. Oh, and this is what's going to come up next. I love their take on how they were inspired by the Breakfast Club.
Right.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Perfect. We get that awesome title sequence that looks in
80s.
Right.
80s
very style. 80s. Very Saved by the Bell, which
I
love.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
Yeah. So Alice fills in Betty on who was who in detention.
Yeah.
Her, she was like the bad girl. Fred was the artist musician.
Yeah.
Sierra McCoy, Josie's mom, was like the political kid. Penelope, the teacher's pet.
Mm-hmm.
Hermione, the good Catholic schoolgirl.
Yeah.
And FP, the hot jock. Which I was like, all right, I guess that explains him. So they have to They have the task of writing a 1,000-word essay.
Yeah.
And Tom Keller sneaks by, and we find out that him and Sierra had a thing even back then.
Yeah.
Because we knew, you know, present day, they are in a relationship together. Mm-hmm. And this shows it precedes that.
Yeah, like we did not. Yeah, we did not went back that far, but
right. See what it did. And a cool thing is the principal, Mr. Featherhead.
Featherhead. Yeah.
Is played by Anthony Michael Hall, who starred in the movie The Breakfast Club, yeah. Which is great.
I love all the 80s vibes in this episode.
Oh, there's so many things. Like, it's so cool.
And I love all the 80s music, too.
Yeah. Oh, me too. So, Sierra recommends playing a game called Secret and Sins. So, they all reveal a lot of what's going on with them. Like, Sierra and Keller are secretly dating. Hermione is dating Hiram.
Yeah.
And they're all
the kid that plays Hiram looks just like Hiram.
Well, I wonder why, because it's Hiram's son.
No,
it's
Mark
Consuelos.
Oh, it really
it's
is?
It's his son.
It's actually his son.
That's what it looks like.
He's a spinning image.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like scary. Even like some of the dialogue that he delivers, you're like, holy crap, like...
like, do they like, have to, like, digitally, like, de-age him?
Right. Yeah, like, we see, like, Marvel movies. Yeah. So then we get where Fred, you know, pep talks his love of Riverdale. He's like, you know, I think I might run for mayor one day, right? And they're like, what? Why yeah. do you want to stay in this town? He's like, you know, it's great. I could play baseball here. Our minors are looking pretty good. Then I could always go to the city and play some gigs, too. Because we know he's, like, into music and the Fredheads and stuff.
The Fredheads,
What city do you think that he's talking about?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Are they setting it up where there's, like, a bigger city?
Like a metropolis? Closer? Yeah. They're probably – it's close enough, so
– I wonder, is it maybe Boston?
I don't know. It could be Massachusetts. That's where –
because we've been thinking, like, well, Greendale's established. It's somewhere more than likely in Massachusetts.
Right. Yeah.
And it's a city over, so, yeah.
Probably. Yeah. And then, we find out that his dad's actually super sick, and he's not doing that great.
Yeah, Fred's dad.
And there's a really nice moment between Hermione and Fred.
Yeah.
Where she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm rooting for that. Like, I do like those two together. We get a glimpse of that in season one, but this is, you know, we see a little bit there.
Yeah.
Something going on. So anyways, they start talking to FP, and they thought FP lived on Elm Street. But his life is a lot harder than they know because his dad actually broke his arm. His dad's like an alcoholic, part of the Serpents, gives him a hard time for wanting to play football. Mm-hmm. And because he didn't want to, like, do what his dad wanted, the dad broke his arm.
Yeah,
his and you're like, holy crap, yeah, like, poor FP. So then Penelope reveals that the Blossoms adopted her. And she was being groomed for Clifford, not only as a sister, but a future companion, which is super creepy.
Oh, yeah.
And Hermione's like, why don't you just leave? Like, get out of there. And that's like a fight sparks between Hermione and Penelope, this time landing them everyone another Saturday detention. Actually, it's up to four. They're like, I got you for 4 weeks. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah, for a month.
Yeah. So they all started to get closer from it. The, like, bravado slipped away, as Alice said. So one Saturday, Hermione breaks into the desk to get back her Game Lad.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like Game Boy.
Yeah.
She breaks in, and they find the game of Griffins and Gargoyles.
Yeah, that's where it all starts.
Right. And Penelope said she heard of it before and that a kid played and died. He was from Seaside, and they all decide. Alice is like, well, this is a great reason to play it then if it's that dangerous, because she's like the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah.
And she's like, let's do it.
Yeah.
So Penelope plays as the dungeon, well, not dungeon master, but the game master. And Alice is the sorceress, Hermione the thief, Sierra the siren, FP Deadeye, and Fred the knight. So the game is set in Eldervere, and if you notice, if you rearrange the words, it spells out Riverdale.
Yeah.
They all get into the game. They have to split into groups of two. Mm-hmm. So Penelope's like, all right, right now, we're going to split you guys up. and I'm going to have Hermione with FP and Alice with Fred. So FP and Hermione find this gym super easy. Like, they go to the cafeteria. They're like, oh, here it is. And FP hits on her, but she's, like, quick to shoot him down.
Yeah.
Hermione's like, whoa, I thought you were with Alice. Like, what are you doing? And then we see where Alice tells Fred she feels lost, and then they kind of kiss.
Yeah.
It's really nice. And she says she feels like the like when she's playing the game, it's great because she can escape her life. Because mm-hmm. she feels so lost in her everyday life that this is a great way to escape. And Fred reveals he feels the same about the game, you know? And the great thing about this shows how Hermione, who likes Fred, and she knows how Alice, like the situation between Alice and FP, mm-hmm. Hermione pushes him away, yeah. right? Because this sets up something later. She pushes FP away like, no, I thought you liked Alice. Where Alice knows Hermione is, you know, kind of sweet on Fred,
yeah.
kisses Fred like no problem, you know what I mean? Just to show how they end up switching and being like polar opposites later on. So they get deeper and deeper into the game, sneaking around into the school, and then that's when they dub themselves the Midnight Club. We see Sierra, she's like cracking the windows so they could all like sneak into the school and start playing the game.
Yeah.
And that's when FP, he's like now with Alice, Fred is with Hermione, they all dress up like their characters. In one night, they come across Tom Keller, Hiram Lodge. I don't know Reggie Mantle's father's name, actually.
I don't know either.
I think it's Ricky, but I could be, or Marty, something like that.
Yeah.
And Daryl Doily, who were also playing the game.
That's where Dalton got it from.
Right. So they're like, oh, you're playing? Why don't we all play together? And Daryl is like, hey, I'm the game master. And Penelope is like, nope, I am. Good luck, man. So one day, they get invites.
Invitations?
Yeah. In their lockers. And they're invited by the Gargoyle King to come and ascend that night to the next level.
Yeah.
So they all sneak into the school. And they're all dressed up as their different characters. And Hiram cracks out some fizzle rocks. He's like, yeah, it's the new stuff. It's like popping them. He does a great job. Like Ross says, he looks just like Hiram. And it's really spooky they look alike.
Yeah.
So everybody starts doing fizzle rocks, which really messes everyone up.
Yeah.
Except Alice, because Alice knows she's pregnant. So she's like, I'm not going to touch that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want my kid turning out like Chick.
Yeah.
Which is Chick. Daryl tells Penelope, congrats on setting everything up. And she's like, whoa, I thought you set everything up. And we see that the table is like filled with drinks, cookies, and chalices and all the like these game pieces. And so they mistake each other for being the one that set the whole game up for that night.
Mm-hmm.
But neither of them actually take credit for doing it. So we see one of my favorite scenes ever. Definitely my favorite cover on the show.
My favorite cover, period.
Seriously.
Cover is awesome.
I like marked out.
Yeah,
and I could not wait for you and like Rory to see the episode, because you have to understand for the listeners at home, me, Chris, Rory, we have gone to numerous horror movie conventions.
Yeah.
Where I mean, the basis of our friendship is literally horror movies.
Yeah,
because you came in, you're like, oh, I'm looking for some horror movies. I'm like, oh, I'll help you out. And I started
Phantasm.
Yeah.
Phantasm 2.
Right. And I was like, oh, you've seen Phantasm? I like Phantasm.
I'm
and,
like,
yeah.
There's another person that's seen this movie?
Yeah.
Not everybody's seen it.
Right. Oh, yeah. But it's so funny because that was like how Chris and I became friends.
Yeah.
Oh. One of the first times I ever hung out with Rory and like went somewhere, we went to a horror movie convention.
Yeah.
So it's like a huge staple in our friendship.
Anyways. Time we hung out one-on-one was to go see The Devil's Rejects.
Oh, my God, yeah. It really was, yeah. All
horror movie based.
Right.
Well, you're talking about the Dream Warriors scene?
Yeah, the dude. So the Fredheads jam out to some Dokken.
Well, I love the Fredheads style and music.
It's so good.
And the use of Dream Warriors.
Yeah.
Also kind of interesting it's the best that cover you ever. See Fred playing guitar, too. Kind of harking back to the first
Archie.
Season.
Right, with Archie.
Yeah.
Pursuing music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so good.
It's just weird, though, how he was in the music, but then, like, Archie is in the music, too, but, like, he didn't seem to want any part of it. Like,
I think it's because it didn't pay off for him.
So
he's kind of talking out of experience. Well, maybe you don't, but when he has, like, it's a conversation with Miss Grundy.
You're right.
Because he asked him, you know, how far can he do this? Isn't that good? Okay.
Yeah.
She's like, yes.
I thought like he was really into it, and then he just like lost, I guess he just lost sight of it, yeah.
Right. Well, I think it's, yeah. There's a lot going on in his life, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they jam out to some Dokken, which is, like I said, the best cover ever.
Yeah.
And KJ Apa does a phenomenal job because he actually plays the guitar.
Yeah.
And he actually changes his voice in this. Like, he doesn't sound like how he normally sounds in other songs.
No.
I think he, like, was trying to channel Luke Perry singing the song.
Yeah.
And it came out so good. I think this is his best song that he's done.
I wish they had more episodes like this one. I think they should make a part two of this episode.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing.
This is just a spinoff.
Yeah, yeah, I would be cool with that. Yeah, I don't know.
They had to have something going on in their lives back then.
Yeah, I mean, they probably all had, like, crazy lives anyways. So they, except Alice, were all high on Fizzle Rocks, so they're, like, going nuts right now.
Yeah.
And Alice gets creeped out when she runs into the stall to throw up, right? Yeah. Because, you know, she's pregnant. So she runs into the stall, she's like, vomiting, and she comes out and she gets really creeped out because all over the walls we see written "Flip for your fate," and these two chalices are there with a coin, insisting that she has to flip the coin and figure out which chalice to drink from. Mm-hmm. She gets a little weirded out, so she runs out of the bathroom and she quickly exits and runs into the Gargoyle King. And she's like, I'm out of here. So she tries to flee the school. And right before she gets to the main entrance, she sees that Featherhead is entering the school, right? And she actually doesn't say anything. She just tries to avoid him. And once he's past her, she like runs right out.
Mm-hmm.
And Featherhead doesn't see her. But she says that's the last she got to see Featherhead.
Yeah.
So anyways, the next day, Alice claims, like, oh, I was trying to call everyone, couldn't get a hold of anyone.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, is Principal Featherhead here? They're like, no, he hasn't showed up today.
Yeah.
Shown up today. And Alice finds out that Fred's dad died while they were at the Ascension party last night. And she's like, oh my God, how is he? And then she's like, oh, he's taking it really hard, of course, you know? So then we see where Featherhead was announced missing after a few days.
Yeah.
And Alice says she saw Featherhead at the school, and Penelope says not to say anything to the authorities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not to talk to the police.
Right.
Because she seems that – I think Penelope knows who – the real Gargoyle King is, or she knows something about it.
Guys, I just want to like say right now, I just have this feeling, right, who it could be, and I'll talk about it a little bit, but I have a feeling who the Gargoyle King might be.
Yeah,
just certain things in this episode, particularly that happened, that I'm like, is that like a sign or a clue?
Yeah.
And it's just like little things that I noticed. And I'll get into it in a little bit. But after a bit, they find out that Featherhead's body was actually in Jughead's old sleeping spot.
Yeah.
If you noticed that little closet under the stairs.
Yeah, from season one.
Right. And they find his body, actually, dead. And it has blue lips. It's been rotting for a little bit. So there's flies. Disgusting. And so Alice says that she, to the group, that she saw the king. And, like, everyone else is like, no, we didn't see anything. Like, that's crazy. Like, we didn't even see Featherhead. We just were partying. We don't even remember what happened last night. So they all decide to destroy the game. Each of them take, like, a part, and they're like, we'll get rid of it. And one of them is like, I'll hide the chalices in the trophy case so it's plain in plain sight. No one will pay attention to it. So they all make a pact never to talk about it and destroy the game. So the Midnight Club disbands, setting them on different paths to the paths we know them for in present day. So we see where Alice was a bad girl who switched over to be, you know, the good Alice Cooper we saw in season one. And she ends up with Hal. We see
We see Alice with Hal at the end of the episode.
Penelope Blossom embraces Clifford Blossom, which is great because we see that Clifford's played by Jason Blossom. Which was really cool.
That's cool. That's cool.
And I like they keep with the theme that he never speaks. And it just adds more to that character.
It's like a mystique. Like he has like a mystique to him.
I have to say that that flashback of her as a little girl meeting Clifford for the first time really creeped me out because, like, I don't know what it was about young Clifford, but it just, like, weirded me out. Like, the smile the kid had, it was, like, really eerie. But, yeah, and so we see where Hermione is now with Hiram. She broke it off with Fred. So she's with Hiram, and we know that life – path.
We know where that goes,
Right, she's now the bad girl, you know what I mean? And, yeah. And so Sierra and Keller, they end up breaking up. And they hope for the best, but then they we know what happens there. Even Keller is like, I'll wait for you.
I'll wait for you.
And he's in the ROTC. Which we found out, you know, the warden was part of in the high school. Anyways. Then the, after they disband and all that, it cuts back to present day. They all avoid each other in the halls, so they don't talk about it. And so it cuts back to present day and Betty takes it all in, right? She finds out that Featherhead's death was ruled suicide. And she then decides to look into it. Her mom says the game is addictive and dangerous, promises, like, please do not play this game. You don't want to end up hurt or worse. So Alice asks her not to look into it and not to play.
Yeah.
And Betty agrees, like, I won't play, but I definitely want to look into it because it's killing my classmates. So Betty checks her sources, and she actually – like, her mom telling her, like, all the chalices where they were in the trophy case.
They're still there.
And they're still there. And she looks at the bottom, and those symbols that we've been seeing this whole season are on, carved on the bottom. So then she goes to the bunker to see Jughead.
Yeah, I like this scene.
And Jughead is playing the game with the serpents. And also, he lost his damn mind. Like, he's just like... if we follow the guide here, I will ascend, and then I will meet the Gargoyle King, and I will take him down. And you're like, Jughead, just chill a second.
I love the final scene when Betty finds Jug playing Griffins and Gargoyles.
Yeah. Love it. Now, what did you guys think of this episode?
Oh, it's the best one.
Loved it. Loved it.
Yeah. And what do you think of this episode?
Yeah, it's the best.
Yeah.
No question.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's the best in the whole show.
Right. Yeah. I literally, like I said, Don Wilkinson probably directed the three best episodes of the entire series.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, easily my favorite. And all the references in this were insane. So
there's
a lot. So many. So, of course, let's talk about some of those Easter eggs and pop culture references. The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
guest star Anthony Michael Hall guest stars, and he actually starred in that film.
Yeah.
And it was about teens with nothing in common.
Like this episode.
Right, sharing detention.
Yeah.
On a Saturday.
Yeah.
We get the Saved by the Bell. The opening title is visually the same to the title of Saved by the Bell with like the half triangle kind of shape with Riverdale in it.
Yeah.
We get Heather's. Penelope quotes it and with the line, clicks don't cross-pollinate, which is a great line. A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, the cast members, they mentioned that FP lived near Elm Street, right? And then later in the episode, of course, the Fredheads performed Dream Warriors by Dokken, which served as the theme song for A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors.
And Fredheads are commonly considered fans of Freddy Krueger. I think there's also a documentary on the something called like the Fredheads.
Yeah.
That like follow like the most hardcore
Freddy
Krueger fans. Which so I'm not on, but I wish I was.
Right.
But I don't have the tattoos or anything.
Yeah. Talking about, okay, so we get a reference to It, another Stephen King reference.
Yeah.
Young FP Jones has a cast on his arm that says loser with the S being turned into a V.
Yeah.
This is clearly a reference to the 2017 film It, where the character Eddie Kasparak has the same thing written on his cast. Yeah, it looks like, exactly the same.
Isn't like the daughter at the drugstore like writes it on him?
Right.
Loser.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lover.
Now, the soundtrack for this episode was ridiculous.
It was great. It was great.
I don't know how much money it probably cost to get all these great songs by all these well-known artists, but we have Dancing by Myself by Billy Idol.
Yeah.
That is starts the episode off.
Yeah.
Forever Young by Alphaville. Great song. You would know it to hear it.
Probably not,
And then True. Ooh. By Spandau Ballet. That's a great song. Take on Me by Aha. Yeah.
Which is the greatest music video of all time. Fight me on it.
I totally agree. Alice is rocking like the like a virgin Madonna style.
Yeah, almost. I didn't think of that.
And then we hear Modern Love by David Bowie. Great song. Love that song. Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears.
Yeah.
And then of course what we talked about our third time talking about it, Dream Warriors, Dokken.
Yeah.
Great song.
Great song.
A great song from a great movie. Probably
great band.
Great bands. But I would say out of all the Nightmare on Elm Streets, that it seems to be considered the best of the series, right?
So number one is considered the best. But number three is considered everybody's favorite. Which is where I get into, because now of course there is this new talk of with the success of Halloween.
Right, that it might
them wanting to do the same thing with Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
But I said, this is why I don't think it'll work. Because you can't... With Halloween, it's different. Because one is the best. Everyone loves one. That generally is the fan favorite, is number one. I like four.
Right.
That's
I'm
more
particularly a fan of four. Like
me too.
Four... Ricky is my favorite Nightmare on Elm Street teenager.
Mm.
The brother.
Yeah.
Who,
that's four for Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah.
Dramarama, that song. Anytime I hear that, I think of that movie. I love that song though.
So I was talking on my end, like Halloween. So
yeah.
So Halloween 4 is my favorite, but most people think that the best and the favorite film is Halloween 1. So they could easily make something to that. But the problem that they're going to run into with Nightmare on Elm Street is it's almost universally agreed upon that Nightmare on Elm Street 3 is without a doubt the fan favorite.
Right.
So they would have to do a timeline where it's like Nightmare on Elm Street 1, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, and then this new one.
Right. Right. No, you're right.
So can they get Patricia Arquette back? That would be something interesting.
That would be interesting. Even do you think like the timeline with Lisa Wilcox, like her character, Alice?
That would get phased out.
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah, because those aren't... I know you like four, but after that, it doesn't particularly go uphill.
Yeah.
Kind of goes up, down.
No, yeah, I feel like after four, you know, five's not great. Freddy's dead's not
six good. Is like he's that's just the a worst. Joke.
I think
three's a perfect blend between him trying to be scary and funny.
Right, and then I feel like six is just six comedic is value. Awful. Yeah,
and then like
Freddy. Wes, New Nightmare.
New Nightmare is fantastic.
The best. It's so
such a
good.
Wonderful idea.
It's so it's a remake without being a remake.
Without being a remake.
What, is that after the two that aren't good?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a soft reboot type.
In reality.
Yeah.
Like, so the people know of the fictional character Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? They know that Robert Englund plays Freddy Krueger.
Right. But he actually becomes tangible, like part of their reality, and is starting to kill the old cast members from the movie. Not the old cast members,
it's like
but
this
haunting
belief in
them.
Him has created this supernatural type demon called Freddy Krueger.
Right.
He actually becomes a part of everything.
It's I would say that's one of the best sequels.
That is
of all
definitely
time.
The best part seven of anything that I can think of.
True.
I gotta watch those movies. I never really got into them.
That includes technically Creed. I would even include that in Creed a part seven. I don't think that there's a better part seven.
Yeah. I don't think so. But we could tell. Oh my gosh, we should probably do a Nightmare on Elm Street podcast.
Can we just do like a horror movie podcast? Let's just get it over and done with.
We got to do a Halloween one too, so we had Halloween.
Let's just do a horror movie podcast. Yeah. Let's just get it over and done with.
I know. So back to the Easter eggs. These all circle to the flashback.
They circle back to everything?
Yeah. Well, so we have. Miss Crabapple is mentioned by Veronica, who took her game lad, and she actually shares a name with the Simpsons teacher character.
Yeah, I thought her name sounded familiar. Yeah,
Miss Crabapple.
Yeah. Rory would appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, I know. He always talks to me, he's like, I think this is like a reference to my favorite show, The Simpsons. You know how he always does that?
Yeah.
So then we also see in that drawer when they find the griffins and gargoyles.
Yeah.
On top of that is a Red Circle comic, and I believe it's the same one that Archie was inspired by. Remember he is in the garage and he picks up the comic?
Yeah.
And they're all standing around the circle, mm-hmm. right? So I believe that's the actual same comic that inspires him later on.
Yeah.
So it could be Fred's comic that was in there with his drumsticks, right? And so he put it in the garage, and you know, one day Archie picks it up. He's like, yeah, I'm going to start the Red Circle.
Yeah.
Is that weird? I thought that was cool, like a deep cut back to season two.
So it's all a callback. It's all a full, it all comes full circle into...
Full Red Circle.
Yeah, full red circle to one scene, it all comes together.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So. And then we see a little poster on the wall, a little flyer on the wall. About Greendale versus Riverdale, a football game. Yeah. Like the Ravens versus the Bulldogs, which obviously is referencing Greendale, the home of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah.
I think that they should have a comic where it's just Greendale's football team plays Riverdale's football team.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
I'd be interested in that.
Yeah.
Because we really don't know how they do against each other. Like, right. We know that the people from Greendale, like the jocks, are a bunch of ass.
Yeah.
We know
they're the
that.
Worst people. And then you have Archie and Reggie, who are not that bad. They're pretty good. I mean, Archie's a convicted felon now or whatever. But he's great.
Archie's in jail. Personally.
Yeah.
The other ones aren't in jail.
Right.
At least that we know of yet.
Yeah, it's true. No, but. In the comics, Harvey Kinkle is a football player in the Chilling Adventures.
Yeah.
And it would have been interesting to see, like, a football game between
them
and, like, we have where Archie versus Kinkle. That would be kind of cool.
That's why I want a crossover. I think it would be perfect.
Yeah. Roberto Aguirre's
we had a crossover. Ben Button showed up on Greendale.
I know, but I'm on a full crossover.
I mean, on Chilling Adventures.
Dear Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, give us the football game that we want. Show us something.
Give us a crossover. Let's be honest.
They don't have long in high school. At least give us one game where we can see these guys interact because they're all over the place.
We know
that they play each other in bowling.
Well, we got to see a football game this season.
Yeah, but not like...
In the prison yard. It was like the longest yard.
Not like Greendale. We want to see Greendale versus Riverdale. We've already seen the advertisements for bowling.
Right. Yeah.
So we know what happens.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so let's talk about this really quick. Your suspicions on who the Gargoyle King may be. Go.
Hiram Lodge,
because of the Fizzle Rocks, him playing the game.
Just everything involved, everything he's involved with. I feel like he's the head of everything. So why not be the Gargoyle King?
All right, Chris, what do you think?
This episode really doesn't tell me too much. I think that they're all being seen with one another.
Right.
Which leads me to suspicions on it. Because
like multiple
people are seeing them around.
Right.
So I mean, maybe if I rewatched it and paid a little bit closer attention to maybe somebody that's gone. But even in this, the Gargoyle King looks pretty big. It looks like he's bigger than a high schooler.
Right.
So I don't know that this episode really tells me too much on who it might be. I know my suspicion later on might be a little bit different.
Right.
And just different things that I can see, but I don't really think that the episode, we know it's got to be somebody that's around back then for this, or there's two, which is what I am
multiple
believing, that there's multiple people doing the Gargoyle King.
Yeah. I mean, you know, one person not really mentioned, is Claudius, you know, like, Cheryl's uncle.
Yeah. He works with Hiram. So yeah. It might be him and Hiram
too.
Right.
It could very well be.
I have a sneaking suspicion. I was watching this episode, and I noticed the way the blocking was for a certain actor. I immediately was suspicious because I'm like, that's really weird. Why would that be a weird coincidence? And I'll share a photo of multiple photos, actually. But when Anthony Michael Hall is addressing them for the first time in detention, you notice his blocking is it says no talking on the chalkboard, but he pretty much covers up the N-O-T-A-L. And so all you see is behind him, King.
King.
And so I was like, is that foreshadowing? Like, does he have a twin brother, or is he deeper involved? You know what I mean? So
yeah, why would they just have that visible and not the rest?
But well, it could be like a different,
like this too. If it is him, there's got to be other people involved,
right? Because
he would have had to have faked his own death, and where the heck has he been for these years upon years?
I mean, look at Claudius. Where was Claudius for years upon years?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, they have to come up with something on why he'd fake his death and where he was for, and then you have to get, you know, who helped him do that.
Right.
So obviously then you're looking at coroners.
Yep. So you have Dr. Kirtle Sr., who's now supposedly dead.
Supposedly dead, yeah.
So there's a few, it's so hard to narrow it to one person, because I think there's multiple things going on. Mm-hmm. Like, there are probably, it's not just one king. The king is probably multiple people.
I guarantee Hiram knows who it is, though. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I mean,
and Penelope knows too, because she works with Hiram too.
Right. And Claudius works with them too. Yeah. So
the Russ is all on the Hiram suspicion.
Yeah. Right.
And I think Hiram.
Team Hiram
is an obvious choice, so it's not going to be him.
But Hiram will know who it is, though.
I think Penelope knowing, hearing of the game before, and being the game master is a pretty big suspicion right there.
Yeah.
But then I feel like Keller, right? Tom Keller being part of the RROTC.
What about, is it Reggie's dad?
Yeah.
That beats the...
He beats Reggie for asking. I mean, we don't get to see it really yet. But, like,
maybe that's like, hey, don't play this because, like, You're right. Next on the chopping block. Yeah. If you do.
But it is it's hard to say, but there's something with Featherhead for sure. And that's where my...
You really don't see Featherhead die either.
Right? No. We see his body,
yeah,
right, come out of that closet. But yeah, we've seen weird things on Greendale where Ben Button jumped out a window and then he shows up in Greendale. Mm. Yeah. I mean, I say Greendale, but on the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Oh, he shows up there and he's healthy, delivering a pizza. And we are led to believe Madam Satan is about to eat him. You know what I mean? So, who knows? Who really knows? He could be dead, or he might have faked his death. And maybe that's the body of someone else, and the coroner is involved.
Yeah.
In the game. We know the game is much bigger than just a high school. Because the warden of a juvenile detention center is playing the game.
Yeah,
Hiram looks like he might be playing the game too. There's just a lot going on. I think Hiram is just...
Hiram's a red herring.
Yeah. I feel like they're really pushing a lot of stuff for that, but...
I feel like if you were to watch this back...
Yeah.
From start from season one to now... Or not season one, episode one to now, it's probably so obvious.
Right, who it could
be.
Who
it is, yeah. Right.
When you first watch it, you don't put all the pieces together.
Season two.
Yeah, it's just like, boom.
Season two, it's so funny. You watch it all the way through, you're like, well, I don't know. I had suspicions of who it was, and those suspicions turned out right. Mm-hmm. But like, I was like, well, you know, that janitor seems a little sketchy, but I have the feeling it's Mr. Cooper for some reason. And then
you rewatch it and you're like,
wow. And then you're like, oh, it's Mr. Cooper from the get-go. Yeah. There's so many things.
You don't see that when you first see it, though.
Right.
And the writers always are going with spoilers. Like, in the actual dialogue, you just don't recognize them as spoilers.
Right.
Like, there's a couple times where the Black Hood calls and
Betty lies. Always
like, oh, yeah, that's my... You're like, that's my dad, and then she like hangs up because she's making an excuse because she's lying. Right. And then we just got one in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina where Prudence is like, yeah, Father Blackwood always treated me like a daughter. Like, why would he do this? And spoiler alert, that's why.
Right.
So like they always write in spoilers into the dialogue, but they do it subtly.
Yeah.
So right. I have a feeling that if you watch from episode one on, the Gargoyle King is probably very easily detected.
Yeah. I agree.
But the writers know the first time you see it, you're not going to uncover it the first time.
No, because it's your first first exposure to it, so your mind is racing in a million and five different ways.
Yeah.
Right.
Like they're trying to figure out who it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this show, this episode in particular, great episode.
Amazing.
And you are so spot on. I was like, you literally saying that, I was about to say that. Mm. The dialogue is always a big clue, too.
The dialogue is a very big clue because they always write the spoiler into the dialogue. It's just very subtly how it's done.
Right.
Yeah. So I would challenge you viewers out there, go back. I know I'll try to do it myself of what's available. Go back to episode one, and I bet you'll find it pretty quickly.
Yeah. Because my thing is...
Especially with what you know now, in the future when you watch it.
Right.
If you do watch it up through.
And that's how I feel. Like, watching season two, like rewatching it to do the podcast, I was like, oh my gosh, right there. Yeah. There's so many things pointing to Hal being the killer. And now, I don't know if I'm like on a high alert for that stuff. So I see the blocking and I'm like, that's something.
Yeah.
That is like some kind of clue.
That's saying something.
I mean, we don't know what it is, but it's something.
It is something, right.
And I feel like this show it just gets better and better. Like, the season is amazing.
Yeah.
And I feel like every episode, it just gets better and better.
That's what I think. Yeah. Now, Chris, do you have anything you'd like to plug, my man?
Not at all. Nothing.
You're not doing any podcasts or...
I figure Ross would take care of that. He's got the notes.
Ross is the king of notes.
I'm sorry. I don't have any notes for that. Okay. I do have one here.
Yeah.
I would like to plug a wonderful lemonade I was thinking about Turkey Hill lemonade. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That was your plug. can you hand me my notes?
Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't really have anything to plug. I guess you could follow our friends if you want to follow Carmel Stamos.
Yeah.
Our buddy Carmen, he comes on. He does our specials with us. Yeah. He's hilarious if you want to follow him.
At Carmel Stamos on Twitter.
And then you can follow our buddy Elle. She has been on a couple episodes
Three
now.
Three episodes so far.
Great. Yeah. Very insightful. She knows her stuff. At Heaven Metal. And then if you want to follow our buddy here, at Mark Bros, at W... Wait, what is it? At... It's
at Mark's Bros, WWE? I don't know. I didn't even go on.
Oh, I know. You never use our Twitter. Or you could... Chris actually is very active on our Sabrina... podcast,
I'm very active
Twitter.
On that. That's
so I feel like you
life.
Use that way more. Guys want to listen to Chris's thoughts on Sabrina, check him out at
Chilling Coven.
Chilling Coven,
yeah, on Twitter.
Coven. Yeah, and then if you don't listen to our other podcast, and you definitely can, and yeah.
Yeah,
we're
our podcast
for Greendale versus Riverdale football. I was talking about on Sabrina too.
Yeah,
until they do it.
But guys, I would say check our other podcast out, The Chilling Coven. We talk about the adventures of Sabrina, the chilling adventures of Sabrina.
Yeah.
Of Sabrina.
Yeah, then let us know if you want us to do a horror movie podcast.
Yeah,
that would be kind of
cool.
Yeah,
we'll do a poll.
I would be so into that.
We'll do
me
a poll.
Too. I
yeah.
would too.
Oh, and we know Rory would be like, "Yeah, guys, are you kidding me?"
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
We'll all have nice little discussions about whatever the horror movie is of the
best of the series. I don't know. We'll
figure
stuff
out.
Yeah.
We'll just do series. You know.
And the funny thing is we always have like horror movie marathons here at my house. I'll invite like Chris and Rory over and we'll watch like Friday the 13th movies, like have a huge marathon. Yeah.
So it'd be a very different type of show because it's going to be more of a discussion rather than like a breakdown because, of course, we're not going to want to spoil
a movie
that came out 35 years ago.
But,
but you're not going to do a scene-for-scene breakdown because we'll be here for – you guys will be listening to a 10-hour podcast.
Right? I know because we'd be
– which we're already taking a chance on doing it because we're probably going to ramble on for about 35 minutes.
Yeah, seriously. But, Russ, what would you like to plug?
Yeah, you could follow us on Twitter, at RiverDudesPod. My personal Twitter page, at Recovery108. You can email us at TheRiverDudesPodcast@gmail.com. And I'd like to plug Turkey Hill Lemonade.
Oh, you...
Yes!
No! No!
What?
You can't do that?
Oh, okay.
Yes!
Something else, lemonade.
Great. I'll keep that in. All right.
So when you guys are at your grocery store, remember to look for something else lemonade.
All right. So guys, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We post some fan art. I haven't gotten the chance to do any fan art lately of Riverdale, but I will. I think with the holiday coming up, I'll probably have some out. Now... With that being said, I guess the last thing we can say is
River Dudes out! It was 1990. I, Rossimus Coltrane, Airhorn Jones, I wasn't a criminal yet, and life was a breeze.
What the hell are you doing?
I'm telling them who I was.